Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour with Paul Sadek and Corey Regan starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Happy Friday!
It's Friday at long last. I can't believe it. But of course, if you're listening on Saturday or Sunday, then it's Saturday or Sunday.
That's right.
Well, coming up today in Answering the Call, we'll talk with a local couple bringing Catholic Bible study to their parish and generating a lot of interest. Find out how a knock at the door nearly 30 years ago changed their perspective on the importance of reading and studying the Bible.
And in our regular invitation situation segment, we all have someone in our lives that we wish we could bring back to the Church, someone who maybe is searching for meaning and belonging. Well, Bishop Bichet has some suggestions for warm and welcoming invitations.
Well, we all have moments of invitation in our lives that help us discern our vocation. We'll hear from a seminarian in formation for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis about his personal vocation story.
But today we're going to start the show, as always, with our friend Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit. What's up, Joe? How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing today, Paul and Corey?
We're good.
Hanging in there.
All right. Well, we have a full issue this week, our April 25th issue, and I think one of the stories we have in there that people should take a look at is about the upcoming Archdiocesan Youth Day.
That is such a big event.
When is that?
That's September 21st this year at Holy Family High School in Victoria, and the theme is Believe and Speak. That's based on the passage from 2 Corinthians, We Too Believe and Therefore Speak, and it dovetails nicely with the theme of Archbishop Neinstedt's pastoral letter from last fall on the new evangelization, which was, I believe, therefore I spoke.
Uh-huh.
And the Archbishop will be there for the whole day, and there will be Mass and music with the local Christian band Sonar.
Food.
And opportunities for Eucharistic adoration and reconciliation. And Sean Forrest, a wonderful Catholic speaker and musician, will be the keynoter.
And what's the energy level like, or why would a youth be interested in going to something like this?
Yeah, I had the opportunity last year to cover it, and it was just tremendous. We had close to 1,700 youth who were at De La Salle High School last year.
And what are the ages?
High school age.
Okay.
High school age.
Okay.
And they were just having a great time with the music and the talks. And I know a highlight was a Q&A that Father Eric Lundgren did with Archbishop Neinstedt. So the youth got to ask the questions and got to know the spiritual leader of this archdiocese a little better. You know, everything from his favorite prayers to his favorite sport. Hopes for today's youth and his pastimes, favorite pastimes. And crowds of kids were going to confession. The line stretched the length of one of the
hallways. Isn't that an inspiration to see those lines?
You know, it was an inspiration.
And, hope for the future, right there.
Absolutely. And there was a lot of sharing happening on Twitter. You know, obviously youth are in social media today. And one youth I just remember very vividly tweeted out, that was one of the most amazing experiences of my life. And I know this year will be another top-notch event, so youth should talk to their campus minister, or their youth minister, or their pastor, because registration is being done in groups. And last year, the registration filled, I think, by July. So the message is don't wait and register right away if they can.
Now, you're also covering the Catholic Athletic Association. That's something I hadn't heard of
before.
Yeah,
tell me about that. Can I be in that? I'm an athlete. I'm Catholic.
Absolutely. You'd have to be in school, but...
Oh, okay. Well, shoot.
You know, we have a special eight-page pull-out section this week. The league is marking its 65th year of operation, and our section highlights some of the history of the organization as well as the impact it's had on the lives of former players and coaches, many of whom are featured in the section, including pro athletes like Matt Burke, who played in the CAA with Nativity School in St. Paul and who, you know, just won a Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens.
Ah, yes.
And Jack Hanahan, an infielder with the Cincinnati Reds, who played for Highland Catholic.
Wow. Quite a listing there.
Yeah. And, you know, they really have a colorful history. The league started in large part thanks to the dedication of three men, Bob Dorn, John Hilo, and Father Otto Neudecker, back in 1948. And, you know, in addition to the sports it organized for both boys and girls, it dabbled in a short-lived music program for a while.
Oh, my.
It also started what was called the Boys Worker Program to help some young men stay out of trouble with the law.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a boxing league there for a while. But, you know, today there's about 40 Catholic schools that are affiliated with the CAA, even some non-Catholic schools in a variety of sports, and they're doing well, they're doing strong, and they'll be around for a long time.
Catholic Athletic Association. Now, you're also covering the Regional Stewardship Conference.
Yeah, there was a Regional Stewardship Conference on April 20th for folks in all the dioceses of Minnesota and North Dakota and South Dakota, and it featured a host of people, including Archbishop Neinstedt and others who spoke about the spirituality of stewardship, as well as some of the more practical aspects about how to nurture it in our parishes and homes.
Okay, excellent. Well, let's bring in your guest.
Yeah, you know, one of the other stories we have in this week's issue is about a project being sponsored by our Archdiocesan Center for Mission called Living Water. And it's a project that continues to strengthen the solidarity partnership that has existed between our archdiocese and the Diocese of Kitui now for about 8-9 years, somewhere in there. And Eric Simon is the center's mission promotions manager, and he joins us today by phone. Good morning, Eric.
Hi. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
Hey, tell us a little bit more about the Living Water Project.
Well, it's a program that we just initiated this year, and it's being tested in 12 different locations, parishes and schools, just to see if it's going to work and to how it would, what the process would be. What it is it's an opportunity for students and of course, adults through their parents, to really broaden their horizons beyond, oh, their kids, their community, national, all the way to global awareness of what's happening to our brothers and sisters in other locations. And it's pretty dramatic, as you can imagine. And as you mentioned, we have a global solidarity partnership with Kitui, mm-hmm. Kenya, and we've had that since 2004. And so what we're doing is we're tying in this project where kids learn about the daily life in Kitui. What is it like there? And, of course, they're having a tremendous drought.
Yeah, talk a little bit more about that. There's a little bit of irony, I think, in that it's a very they're experiencing this drought there, and it's been prolonged. And here we have, you know, we're in the land of 10,000 lakes. We have this abundance of water. But so that really the water is something that is at least one of the focuses of this, right?
It is. You know, this partnership is based on three different things. It's based on faith. It's based on our relationship together. And then it's based on our resources. And one of the things that Kitui, resource-wise, is lacking is water. They've had a drought for about 7 years, meaning it'll rain, but only rain for a month, and then that's it. And the ground is so hard, the rainwater washes away. And so they have asked us to help them with that particular issue. And we have been doing that for many years.
And there's a spiritual component to that water issue. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, one of the nice things about the Living Water piece is that it touches on all three components of our relationship, faith, relationship, and resources. Because water in Kitui is necessary, as you can imagine, Joe, for their physical health and their mental health. They can't grow crops, they can't eat, they can't bathe. So all those things are necessary for physical health. But in addition, baptisms need water, and that's such an important sacrament over there.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't have water for baptisms, often baptisms are delayed or they just don't take place. So through this water project, we're touching on all those elements.
Mm-hmm. So kids in schools are learning about this relationship, learning about the situation there, and then collecting some funds to help provide or help fund some water projects there?
Yes. The way it works is that children receive a water bottle, you know, just a standard plastic water bottle we have around here, and it's called the Living Water Bottle. The tagline is Give Change, Change Lives. And then they receive also a calendar. This year, it's April. It's the We're doing it during the Easter season. And on each day, there's either a prayer or there's information about their other kids, their brothers and sisters in Kitui. And what they'll do is the schools will tie in the daily readings or daily information, and then the kids will collect change in their water bottle. And at the end of April, they'll return the water bottles to their schools, and all that money will be collected.
Right. And this is something that you're going to hopefully expand to. This is a pilot project year here, and next year expanding to more schools?
That's right. We understand it's going very well. In a week and a half or so, we'll really get a sense of it. But we understand it's going very well. So, yes, we intend to offer it to all the schools and all the parishes next year who are interested in doing it.
Eric, what a beautiful, beautiful symbol water is sacramentally and so necessary for our well-being.
Yeah, yeah. So it's working very well.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Sure, Joe. Thank you.
Thanks. And people can read more about that Living Water Project along with a variety of other stories in this week's issue of The Catholic Spirit.
Should be on your doorstep or on your coffee table right now, so pick it up and read. Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit, thanks for joining us again.
Have a great weekend.
You can hear Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit, every week here on the Rediscover Hour, and you can find The Catholic Spirit online anytime at thecatholicspirit.com.
In today's Answering the Call, we'll talk to a local Catholic couple about the spiritual inspiration found in Scripture and why every Catholic should really read and know the Bible.
And find out about a way to publicly support the faith and show your devotion to our Blessed Mother. We'll share a local seminarian's inspiring vocation story. All this and a lot more coming up on the Rediscover Hour.
Have you heard the popular term sandwich generation? It speaks to the idea of whom in your family you are caring for. What this means is that you may be currently caring for your parents and your children at the same time. For those of you who know what I'm talking about, you certainly understand why the word sandwich is used. Here is a helpful tool for you on the internet, washburn-mcreevy.com. Washburn McReevy Funeral Chapels and Cremation Services has been family-owned and operated for more than 150 years and is one of Minnesota's pioneering funeral service companies. They are known as the most trusted name in funeral and cremation services right here in the Twin Cities, and their new and improved website is wonderful. Washburn-McReevy.com. Or you can call 24 hours a day at 612-377-2203.
That's why I can't overestimate the importance of Catholics learning what it is we believe so that we can, out of charity, help other people. You know, Sean, if we have the truth, if we have the fullness of truth in our Catholic teaching, why would we want to keep it to ourselves? You know, that's why it's so important. That's why I feel it's so important to keep doing what I'm doing, because I want to make sure people understand what it is we believe as Catholics, both for Catholics so they can embrace their faith, so they can share it with others, and for non-Catholics so they can one day accept the fullness of truth and come to realize that we have Jesus in the Eucharist. We have His... I'm getting excited here.
It's okay. That's all right.
I get fired up when I talk about this because we have so much, and you know that I want to share it with others because I want everybody to experience the peace and the wonderful graces that flow from the Catholic Church.
The timeless truths of our Catholic faith.
Shows that inspire.
Talk radio for Catholic life.
Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan.
Well, seminarians in the third year of theology at St. Paul's Seminary are ordained to the transitional diaconate on Saturday, May 4th at 10 a.m. at the Basilica of St. Mary. Consider showing your support and attending this uplifting liturgy. We're featuring local seminarians' vocation stories in the month leading up to the ordination to the priesthood on May 25th at the Cathedral of St. Paul.
Today we are joined by Deacon Luke Marquard, a transitional deacon who will be ordained a priest for this archdiocese on May 25th. Deacon Luke, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. You know what? We have a special connection. You went to went through the ACE program with my niece and her now husband. I believe you were in the same cohort as Kent Wayland, and they know you. And Megan Regan, she told me to tell you hi and that you're going to make a great priest.
Well, thanks for sharing that. That's great.
I know. I thought it was a small world. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your story.
Well, what I can tell you, I guess, is this. I grew up in Faribault, so on the south side of the diocese, in what was then Immaculate Conception Parish. We've since merged, and now we're Divine Mercy, and did a lot of the things that were available to me in the church there. Was an altar server, was a lector, extraordinary minister, went through the Catholic school system there, including the high school, Bethlehem Academy, where I graduated in 1997. And that's sort of the year that any vocation story would begin, at least that I can name. It was that year that Archbishop Flynn, who at the time was in the habit of or the custom of inviting one boy and one girl from each of the Catholic high schools, invited me up as a representative from Bethlehem Academy.
Very nice. What a special invitation.
You know, when I look back, it really was, at the time, I wasn't exactly sure what it was. I just
or
knew
why.
That it was an honor and that I would go, and I didn't recognize that it would be really a life-changing event.
Life-changing, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about hearing that call through that dinner, then.
Well, it was interesting. He told me, as we were greeting one another, that I reminded him of a priest he knows out in New York. And I really didn't think much of it. Had an enjoyable evening, and then about a week and a half later, I received a letter from the Archbishop, and he was thanking me for joining him for dinner. And he included some pictures of this priest, along with a note that said, "This is what you're going to look like when you're older."
Did you really look just like him?
I know is that I thought, oh, no.
Was it a compliment?
That means I'm going to look like a priest. It was scary more than anything.
I imagine it could be at the first.
But it was foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, and then I understand that you also mark your return to the Sacrament of Reconciliation as a major turning point in your call.
Yeah. And that was another one of these ways that, you know, God places people and circumstances providentially. My family and I were visiting, this must have been about 10 years ago, we were visiting my grandparents in Omaha, and we're on our way and to the Saturday Vigil Mass, and there were a couple of priests hearing confessions, and my dad just said to me, and I don't know if he had any agenda other than that he wanted to go to confession, he said, "I'm going to go to confession." And I thought, oh, I haven't been doing that. I should do that. And I did, and through that sacrament, really began to realize that there were areas in my life that the Lord wanted to change and that He was inviting me to that. And so I started to make that sacrament a part of my life again.
It's an amazing sacrament.
It's very
a beautiful,
powerful.
Beautiful gift. Now, the two of you, tell me about the ACE program.
It stands for Alliance for Catholic Education.
Okay.
It's a program that's run through the University of Notre Dame. Very similar to AmeriCorps' Teach for America.
Right. And so where were you placed?
I was part of the first year in Denver.
Okay. My niece Megan went to Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we're on campus at Notre Dame taking our own classes in education during the summers. And then during the school year, we're placed in under-resourced Catholic schools. And so I had an eighth grade classroom out in Denver.
And how many years is that?
It's a two-year program.
Okay. And so you graduated from that, and then what happened then?
Then I came to the seminary.
Okay.
And I really owe a lot to the ACE program. It was showing up on campus there and being with the other teachers. This was the first time in a very long time that I was around people who, when I said I was thinking about the priesthood, would react positively.
Right.
Now, in about a month, you'll be a priest. Tell me what you most look forward to.
The sacraments, offering Mass and hearing confessions. For me, just as a part of my vocational story, my life story, the Eucharist and the Sacrament of Penance have been such a major role. And to think about the opportunity to play a different role in those sacraments really is humbling.
Deacon Luke Marquardt, thank you for saying yes.
Absolutely.
And thank you for joining us on the Rediscover Hour
Good
today.
To talk with you, Deacon.
Glad to do it. Likewise.
You can find out more about the St. Paul Seminary, upcoming vocations events, and the USCCB vocation resources at our show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org, click on radio in the top navigation bar.
And make plans to attend that ordination to the priesthood on May 25th at 10 a.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul. Archbishop Nienstedt will ordain Deacon Luke and 9 other men to the Holy Priesthood of Jesus Christ. And again, you guys, please consider attending as a family.
Well, a key part of the new evangelization is invitation. Invitation to rediscover the truth and beauty of the Catholic faith.
Yeah, we all have someone in our lives that we wish we could bring back to the church, someone who is searching for something, that meaning and belonging, and who needs to know everything we seek can be found in our faith.
It's just hard to know what to say to make a warm and welcoming invitation and what to expect in response. That's where this little segment comes in. Bishop Lee Pichet will walk us through today's invitation situation.
Hello, I'm Bishop Lee Pichet, Auxiliary Bishop of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Our weekly invitation situation on the Rediscover Hour is all about sharing ideas and examples of how to call others into communion with Jesus through His church. Little seeds we plant to help someone along the path. This person could be a family member who has drifted away from the church. Perhaps a neighbor who doesn't practice any religion but is seeking answers to life's big questions. Or maybe a coworker who seems unhappy or in need of something beautiful and positive in his or her life. As Christians, we are called to invite others to a personal relationship with the living God, Jesus Christ. Our goal should never be instant conversion, but planting little seeds of loving and joyful invitation. When we do, the Holy Spirit takes those seeds and brings them to fruition. Let's listen in on today's invitation situation. Today's situation is playing out in real life at parishes all over. Catholics wanting to feel a deeper sense of connection with their family of faith, but not knowing how to engage in this way. Parishes offer many ways for people to become involved, but most people need to be personally invited to actually take part. Let's listen in on this little exchange between Rebecca and Dan.
I don't feel like I'm really connecting here at the parish. I want to feel like I'm accepted here and that I'm part of this group, and I want to connect with others on a deeper level and feel comfortable discussing our faith. But how?
We've got a big group of folks going to the next speaker series talk. Come with us. We have great discussion together after the talks, and we'd love to have you join us, Rebecca.
Thanks, Dan. I was thinking about going to one of the talks anyway, but didn't want to just show up on my own.
I'll send an email reminder the day before. We're so excited you can join us. We'll meet in the parking lot at 6:15 Thursday and drive over together. See you then.
Now, in real life, that conversation may be just a tad longer, but we're working within a time slot here, so we just hit the highlights. Rebecca wants to feel a deeper sense of belonging, of connection, at her parish, and in a larger sense, in her faith. Dan recognizes that Rebecca needs to take a simple first step and not feel overwhelmed. He invited her to join a group going to the speaker series talk to take the pressure off. Let her know she's not on the spot for a multi-month meeting commitment, but is warmly welcomed to join them in this faith-growing experience. Thanks for listening to today's Invitation Situation.
And the Invitation Situation with Bishop Lee Pichet is a regular feature on the Rediscover Hour.
It's a good reminder to us all to keep extending those warm and welcoming invitations, because you really do. You never know when someone may be ready to respond.
And coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, a knock at the door turned out to be the invitation for a local Catholic couple to begin a life-changing study of the Bible. That's in today's Answering the Call segment.
Plus, what makes a parish warm and welcoming? Local leaders share their answer to that question. All that and a whole lot more is ahead on the Rediscover Hour.
Mm-hmm. This is Carrie Becker, owner of Becker Building and Remodeling, with over 30 years' experience in home construction. We love putting a special touch on home building projects for our customers.
Hi, I'm Adam.
I'm Makaya.
And we're the owners of Hazel's Northeast Restaurant in Northeast Minneapolis. My favorite thing about our new home is the small details that we were able to put into it. The custom-built fireplace that Carrie helped us select using reclaimed woods and special handmade process. It's the centerpiece of our living room. I think we were initially nervous about the amount of decisions we'd have to make, but after we met Carrie, the decision-making process was really easy.
The contractors and all the people working were always eager to share what had been going on. They were really passionate about what they were doing. They shared right in Carrie's spirit about being excited for this new house.
What can we build or remodel for you? Remember, keep on listening to Relevant Radio and keep the faith. Becker Building and Remodeling, a Catholic-owned business you can trust. 612-363-0493.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Corey Regan.
And I'm Paul Sadek. Many Catholics do not feel well-versed in the Bible, but we know that a careful study of Scripture can lead to a deeper experience of faith.
One local couple took their hunger for knowledge about the Bible and turned it into a commitment to learn more, and eventually used the knowledge that they had gained to start leading Bible studies. Chad and Marilyn Crow of Transfiguration Parish in Oakdale join us to share their story in this week's Answering the Call. Chad and Marilyn, how are you?
Well, good afternoon. This is Chad, and you can probably guess who Marilyn is.
Hi, Marilyn. Tell us a little bit about how this all started for you guys. Was there a specific moment to get you involved more in learning about the Scripture?
Chad, do you want to start?
You know, our experience was one not of one big event or challenge. Mm-hmm. Probably what most people experience is a little nudge here, a little nudge there.
Right.
And a yearning. I think for us, one of the seminal moments was years and years ago, parishes across the United States were exploring, if you remember, the Renew program.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the late 80s, I think.
Okay.
And that was our first real touch, and my comment, at least, was, gee, we ought to be doing more of this. And then some men invited me to a men's Bible study under the Little Rock program, and that was my start.
Now, I understand there was a knock at the door that kind of sparked things on.
Do you guys remember that?
Yeah. My reaction to that Renew program, too, was I kind of felt in our small groups we were offering a lot of opinions, and I just really felt like I want to study something and just really know what the church is teaching about.
Know what you're talking about. Well, why do you think it is that a lot of Catholics are sort of lacking in that Bible area of our faith?
I don't know that that has really been the emphasis. I mean, during my growing up years, I don't recall ever pulling out a Bible
right.
And studying it. I mean, certainly at Mass we had readings and so forth,
mm-hmm.
but to specifically go to a Bible and read Scripture and try to understand it just was not the focus.
Right, and I guess delving into the Scripture for both of you sort of changed your lives and changed the way you think about things at Mass as well, correct?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. In fact, we just finished a study called A Biblical Walk Through the Mass. So
mm-hmm.
that
I've
very
heard about that.
Specifically addressed. Yeah,
that's one of the Jeff Cavins courses, isn't it?
He taught it. Actually, Ted Three wrote the book in
okay.
the lesson. But yeah, but Jeff did live lectures for that study for us at Transfiguration.
I've heard both Jeff and Ted speak, and they're both amazing. Tell me a little bit about that. How the better knowledge of Scripture can enrich your appreciation for the Mass?
You know, for myself, I've often wondered years ago, and I think Catholics as well as Protestants probably have a rhetorical question, where do you come up with that stuff?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
And because the Mass, particularly for someone who is not Catholic, if you came in at ground zero and looked at it, you'd say, boy, there's a lot of kneeling and sitting.
Right, that was me 5 or 6 yeah. years ago. Yeah. I'm a convert, and how did it all start? Who started these traditions? Why is it this way and that? You have tons of questions coming into it like that.
Precisely, and so speaking for myself and watching those type of reactions, and understanding that, you start to even question, well, and I'm looking back, I'm a cradle Catholic, which maybe in a way, I think
folks,
that the converts and those that have returned to the faith often are better versed than many of us cradle Catholics that are...
That learned it when you were young and never thought to ask the questions why.
Fat, dumb, and happy.
Okay, you just do it because.
And that's what Grandma and Grandpa did.
Right.
And Mom and Dad. So we've never challenged ourselves.
Right.
As we've gone through the study, and I'm sure Marilyn will echo this, is that so much of what is in the Mass is a derivative of very important pieces from the Old Testament as well as in the New. And, you know, the old saying that the New Testament is hidden in the Old and the Old is revealed in the New is so true. And my last comment before I'll give Marilyn some airtime is, when you've gone through this study and you go back and you experience a Mass again, it's like they turned it from black and white into color.
Oh, I need to do that. That sounds great.
Well, you're offering a Bible study course now that includes both men and women. Are you finding a little bit of a difference in the flavor of the spirituality between men and women?
Well, this wouldn't surprise anyway, and I'll speak for myself, but Marilyn, I certainly want you to respond as well. My observation is men tend to ponder and reflect and chew on things a little bit more before they finally offer an opinion. Women are on the run all the time.
Just spouting out all the time.
So it's just a different way of delivery and processing. So, yes, there is a difference. In fact, Marilyn can speak to this. She ran pretty much a women's study for the first 4 to 5 years, and then we, because of a change in venue, we ended up with men and women together at night. And it does change the dynamics, but they both, just why God put men and women together, there is exactly the same dynamic there. There's richness of both genders and how they participate.
Marilyn, tell me a little bit about that dynamic of having both men and women in the same room in a class like this.
Well, and I have to tell you this. Mostly at Transfiguration, we had couples, so it wasn't just a mixture of men and women.
Okay.
It was a husband and wife that signed up and took the class
together.
Study together, and we gave them an option. Do you want to be in the same group or not? Actually, our greatest number of people that were involved were couples, and so we had couple groups, and we had a facilitator that was a couple that led that group. But the dynamics, I know that's maybe a tough question. I just think everyone has their own, you know, spirituality and has something to offer about their experience and what you know, what the scripture has revealed to them in going through the study and so forth. I don't necessarily know about a big difference between men and women.
Well,
it's just that we all have something to offer.
Part of your faith journey has included a pilgrimage. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was in 2008. We had an opportunity to go with Jeff on his tour to Israel.
Amazing.
And it was an incredible journey.
I bet you have some good stories from that trip.
Oh, it's just amazing to actually walk in the footsteps, you know, where Jesus was. And
right. To imagine him there.
Pardon?
To imagine him there in that room where you're standing or wherever you are.
Right, and to walk in the very, you know, steps, you know, that he walked, or floating on a boat in the Sea of Galilee and looking up at the hills, or where he gave the discourse, the Sermon on the Mount. You're standing on that very piece of earth. It's just amazing.
And those are experiences you can bring back and attempt to share with the people in your class, aren't they?
Yeah, and actually, Chad, you have one that you always talk about.
Yeah, you know, the passage where Jesus, not long after that discourse that Marilyn just mentioned, he's further into the northern part of Israel at Caesarea Philippi, and he turns to the disciples and the apostles and says, I'm paraphrasing, of course, hey, you guys, who do you think I am? And, of course, Peter steps up and says, well, you are the Christ, and he reminds him, well, not mere flesh and blood has revealed this to you, but your Father in heaven. However, what most of us don't know, Caesarea Philippi is an enormous edifice of rock, vertical rock going up almost 150 feet and probably 800 to 900 feet left to right, but it's a sheer rock wall.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember, his last comment to Peter is, "You are Kephas, you are rock, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Well, I'd never known that before. Now, when you go and you stand there, you understand, you get it. Now you know what Christ was talking to, and it's unmistakable that he wasn't talking about building a church there, but he was turning to Pete and saying, you know what? I'm putting the church on your shoulders, pal. But you wouldn't get that just by necessarily reading the passage, but when you stand there, it is unmistakable.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
You know, and that is something about studying Scripture, because sometimes the verses are very short mm-hmm. that refer to something, but when you unpack all the meaning of it, it just explodes. It just comes alive, and there's just so much meaning.
So much more to it, huh?
And I should mention, too, that back when I suddenly had this thirst for wanting to learn Scripture, because I really came to the realization I just am so poor at it.
Mm-hmm.
I called our church, the parish that we belonged to at the time, and asked, oh, you know, I want to sign up for a Bible study. When is it? Oh, at that time it was, oh, we don't have one.
They didn't have one, yeah.
They directed me to a non-denominational Bible study at our Lutheran church in our mm-hmm. town. And I went to that one, and I could sense that there were some things that I just had to have, you know, my guard up about. But I met a wonderful woman in that, another Catholic woman in that study, and her and I got together. That was Carla Lomax and another woman, Joanne Carter, and we just said, you know what, there needs to be a Catholic study. And that's when we got, in 2000, that's when we got a women's Bible study going in at St. Augustine's in South St. Paul.
There are a lot of things that just wouldn't be covered in a non-denominational Bible study, like the sacraments.
Oh, right. You really do miss
differences.
The richness of it. Yeah. And I remember, too, when I started studying, it was just so amazing to me. I just remember thinking, oh, there's so much I don't know. There's so much
right.
I don't know. There's so much I don't know. But I just encourage anybody that has any fear about studying just to put your toe in and get started. And even if you take away little tidbits, you know, the first study that you get involved with, you know, eventually it's just going to all come together and you are going to understand the story of salvation in the big picture. And, you know, and as a matter of fact, Jeff's series, The Great Adventure, a Bible Timeline,
mm-hmm.
is a wonderful study just to learn the story of salvation and go through the historical narrative.
The chronological.
The Bible. Yes.
Yeah, I think that would be neat. I was going to ask you what one of your favorite ones was, one of the favorite studies that you've done.
Well, what's so great about that one is it gives you the story, it gives you the framework, and when you're at Mass and you hear the readings and the gospel, you know the setting, you know where...
You know when it happened,
yes,
and you can picture it.
It just makes them so much more relevant and real.
Now, you've had considerable experience now, having run this session several times with different men and women together. I understand you even have some teens in your current session. What kind of energy do they bring to it?
Well, I have to say the leader that we have in that particular study, she's a great gal. She was part of the national evangelization team. So she was, you know, she's a young college girl herself and a great leader. I know that her feedback, and I haven't, to be honest with you, we just finished that study on Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
and we had everyone fill out a survey, you know, some people put their names on it, some didn't, so I'm not certain exactly what the teens have said about it, but her comment was that, you know, and let me find it, she made the comment, after the first study, I knew I was going to learn a lot. Mass is not the same.
Isn't that great?
Wonderful.
Yeah. So.
Chad and Marilyn Crowe, we've got only about 30 seconds left. What advice would you give to someone who's thinking about doing more Scripture study?
Boy, you know, it's the other essential part of our Catholic journey. You know, just sacraments by themselves are great. The church by itself is great. When
mm-hmm.
you start to bring Scripture, you bring the whole triune together. It's just another major part of our entire Catholic experience.
Mm-hmm. And I think if you want to grow, just simply attending Mass on Sunday is not enough.
It's not enough, right.
You need to do...
You have to study.
You need to put an effort into it.
Yeah.
And you need to do more to enrich your faith.
Awesome.
Chad and Marilyn Crowe of Transfiguration Parish in Oakdale, thanks so much for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. Right. Thanks for having us.
And check with your parish to see if you have Bible study offered there.
Coming up on the Rediscover Hour, there are so many opportunities to deepen your faith happening around this archdiocese. Find out how your family can take part in a public display of faith through a longstanding tradition of Marian devotion. We'll be right back.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now. 800-729-3259. We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent. Call 800-729-3259. That's 800-729-3259. Again, 800-729-3259.
Pray, study, grow in faith. This is the Year of Faith.
To get close to God is to have a harder life, a holier life, a happier life, but a harder one. Just because, well, I go to church and now things are better. They are better, but they're harder. Here comes the cross. That's the one assurance Christ gave us. At least he's honest. He says, you know, that those who are going to follow me, that the servant isn't greater than the master. They did these things to me, they'll do them to you.
This is Relevant Radio.
I will I have carved on the palm of my hand. Though the night may be...
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Corey Regan.
And I'm Paul Sadek. You and your family have an opportunity to take part in a great tradition of Marian devotion first weekend in May. 65th annual Archdiocesan May Day Rosary Procession takes place on Sunday, May 5th. Father John Paul Erickson, director of the Archdiocesan Office of Worship, joins us this morning with details about this public display of faith. Good morning, Father.
Morning, Paul. Morning, Corey.
Hello.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak about really an important part of our local church's display of devotion, not only to our Blessed Mother, but also to our Catholic faith. As you mentioned, Paul, this coming May, on May 5th, we'll celebrate the 65th annual Archdiocesan May Day Procession. For 65 years, local Catholics within this archdiocese have gathered together and in various parts of St. Paul, but always culminating at our beautiful cathedral to give honor to Mary, to ask that she might pray for us, pray for our country, pray for our families, and to give all of our concerns, our dreams, our hopes to her, who always leads us to Jesus.
Absolutely.
And that really is, I think, the heart of the procession, and any procession really involving the Blessed Mother, it's leading us to Jesus. We of course give great honor to this image, this statue of Mary. But Mary always, in devotion and in doctrine, always leads us to Jesus. And so it's so appropriate that our procession will conclude at the cathedral with benediction and exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. So Mary will lead us quite literally to Jesus himself.
That's cool. And I've never done this, so paint a picture for me. What is this like? I mean, I'm picturing families, people, strollers, babies.
You
is
got it. You got
like
it, Corey. And I will be looking for you on May 5th.
All right.
It's it really is a beautiful expression of the church. You know, there's a marvelous line. I can't think of who said it, but the church, here comes everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is what the procession is meant to be. It's meant to incorporate families. It's meant to incorporate young people. It's meant to incorporate, as it does so beautifully, the elderly and the infirm,
mm-hmm.
many of whom make great sacrifices to walk the distance. So
yeah, how far is it, I was going to ask?
It's, I believe, about just under a mile from the capital to the cathedral.
Great.
You certainly can always see the cathedral, so there's always that
Line.
That's exactly right. That's very, very
in
important.
View.
But yes, all kinds of people will gather together on the Capitol grounds at 1:30, and then at 2 o'clock we'll all walk together right up beautiful John Ireland Boulevard, following a statue of the Blessed Mother, and we'll say the rosary together. We'll ascend the steps of the cathedral, probably about 2:40 or 2:45 or so. The bells will be ringing. It'll be, hopefully, God willing, a beautiful
May
Day.
Right, that's what
day.
I was going to say.
And not snowing,
mm-hmm.
But a beautiful May Day, and the bells will be tolling. We'll come in, we'll gather together in the cathedral, and we'll have a May crowning right there in the cathedral. And then we will have a exposition and benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. And I think the whole day will conclude probably about 3:30 or 3:35.
Not too bad. Well, tell me, Father, why is a rosary procession important? And more broadly, what makes the rosary important?
Excellent questions, Paul. A rosary procession, I think, like any procession, any outward display of faith, is a great chance, number one, for us Catholics to remember, gosh, I'm not alone. There are actually others that are with me on this pilgrimage home. Of course, a pilgrimage or a procession, it's very much like the Christian way of life in general. We're walking forward, we're going somewhere with brothers and sisters in the faith. They're walking with us. And we're encouraged by the presence of so many. We've had, 2,000 people join us for this procession, and what a great affirmation it is for us. But probably more important in this year of faith, it reminds those who see us, some of whom have to, quite frankly, wait for a great amount of time as they wait for the procession across the street,
mm-hmm.
as they wait in their cars.
Oh, yeah.
It's a reminder that, an invitation, really, that we really believe, that we have a great source of hope and joy for a darkened world. And it's a way of proclaiming in our own way, from the rooftops, come and see what we are willing to celebrate in such extravagant ways. So it's meant to be an invitation.
It's a witness of sorts.
Amen, big time. It's really meant to be just that, a witness and a celebration.
And yeah.
In terms of the rosary in general, it's a marvelous expression of the truths of the faith. Not only is it a devotion to Mary particularly, but it's also, of course, a reflection upon the mysteries of Jesus. Again, Mary always brings us to Jesus. And so the rosary is very scriptural. It's a doctrinally sound method of prayer, always bringing us back to sacred scripture, always bringing us to the life and the saving death of Jesus.
Okay, and so why is the month of May considered a month of Marian devotion? I mean, along with October, but
yes,
we are
indeed.
In May.
It's as far as I can tell, Corey, I think it's closely related to why we celebrate, for example, some of the other major Christian feasts around what used to be pagan holidays.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Of course, May is a time of the spring. It's a mm-hmm. time of rebirth. And Mary, we know, is the new Eve. She is the wellspring of all the new beginnings of the church, first
mm-hmm.
of which, of course, is Jesus. And so it's a way, I think, for Holy Mother Church to refocus our natural interest in this season of springtime,
mm-hmm.
of new beginnings.
Growth.
And to draw it into the mystery of salvation, so to focus it on the Blessed Mother, who, again, is this real paradigm and expression of new beginnings.
Well, as long as we have a minute, tell us then why October is the Rosary Month.
Yes, a little bit different. I, as far as I can tell, the reason why October took on a Marian flair, if you will, is because October 7th is the feast day of Our Lady of the Rosary.
Okay.
And so, while we speak about May as the month of Mary, October really is more accurately described as the month of the Rosary.
Okay.
And so it's, of course, incorporating Mary, but it's more of a devotional exercise of the Rosary, precisely because the feast day of Our Lady of the Rosary is celebrated on October 7th.
Got it.
Father John Paul Erickson, thank you so much for joining us and filling us in a little bit on the Archdiocesan Rosary Procession.
Look
My
for me
pleasure.
Out there. I'll be out there.
Excellent. We'll be looking for you. Looking for you both.
Lots
you too,
of strollers.
You too, Paul.
All right. Father John Paul Erickson is the Director of the Office of Worship for the Archdiocese. Always a pleasure to have him as a guest here on the Rediscover Hour.
Here again is all the information you need to bring your family to the 65th Annual Archdiocesan May Day Rosary Procession on Sunday, May 5th. You gather at 1:30 at the State Capitol grounds. The procession is led by Archbishop Nienstedt. That begins at 2 p.m. And after the procession arrives at the cathedral, there will be a May crowning, prayers for marriage and the family, and the benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. You can find out more on the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis website. That's archspm.org. Ask if your parish is organizing buses to the Capitol or other transportation. And of course, school and parish youth group participation is always encouraged. Again, the date and time for the 65th annual Archdiocesan May Day Rosary Procession is Sunday, May 5th. Gather at the State Capitol at 1:30 p.m. and the procession to the cathedral begins at 2 p.m.
Every week on the Rediscover Hour, we catch up with a few local Catholics and ask them a question. Last week, we spoke with some of the 450 parish and school leaders attending a special gathering focused on hospitality. This is how they answered the question, what is one key thing that makes for a welcoming parish?
I'm Will from Guardian Angels in Oakdale. To be a welcoming parish, the most important thing to do is be intentional about it. Observe some of the welcoming aspects that you already have in place, observe them and discuss them and highlight them, and then make it intentional to take what you already have and expand upon it, because you can't ever be too welcoming.
My name is Kellen, and I'm from the Cathedral of St. Paul in St. Paul. To be a welcoming parish, I think each individual parishioner should take the opportunity to spend time with the guests, spend time with each other, really to see Christ in one another, to acknowledge that presence, and to give the gift of self and the gift of time.
I'm Beth from St. Richard's in Richfield, Minnesota. I think one of the most important things that they can do is at the beginning of each Mass to welcome guests and visitors, and for parishioners to just take a look around and greet new people. I think that is one of the most, one of the best expressions of hospitality that I've seen and appreciated when I've been a guest at a parish.
I'm Abby from Our Lady of Grace in Edina. I think the most important thing is to stay true to their Catholic roots, because the church has a long history of hospitality, and what we need to do to be welcoming is built into that tradition. And so I think if we stay true to that, we'll get where we need to be.
Well, parish leaders always consider how to offer hospitality in the Catholic tradition. And this spring, there are many opportunities for leaders to share ideas about being welcoming.
Yeah, if you are involved in efforts to make your parish even more welcoming, consider attending a Hospitality 360 Degrees workshop. You have three choices of date and location to attend. The workshops take place May 2nd, 7th, and 9th, and each 90-minute workshop starts at 7 p.m. Here are the details on when and where. Thursday, May 2nd at St. Patrick's in Edina. Tuesday, May 7th at St. John the Baptist in New Brighton. And Thursday, May 9th at St. John Newman in Eagan. You can call the Archdiocese Office of Parish Services at 651-290-1616 for more info. Again, that number is 651-290-1616. We've also linked information about these Hospitality 360 Degrees workshops on our Rediscover Hour show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org and click on radio in the top navigation bar. Here's a look at some great events taking place locally. Make your plans now to go on the pilgrimage with Archbishop Nienstedt to the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse. The one-day pilgrimage takes place on Tuesday, May 21st. That's Tuesday, May 21st. Motorcoach buses leave at 7 a.m. from the Cathedral of St. Paul, St. Joseph in Rosemount, and St. Raphael in Crystal. Buses return to those same parish sites at 7 p.m. the evening of May 21st. And a few highlights of this pilgrimage: spiritual leadership from Archbishop Nienstedt, a Holy Mass, individual meditative time and Stations of the Cross, and reflections at the Memorial of the Unborn, and, of course, a tour of Our Lady of the Guadalupe Shrine Church. And you like this, you'll be well fed during the day. Coffee and rolls on the bus
ride.
That's
important.
It is, especially for pregnant ladies.
Yeah, exactly.
Catered lunch at the site and light box dinner on the bus ride home. And this pilgrimage is sponsored by the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life. And you can call that office at 651-291-4488. That's 651-291-4488 for more information and to register. Or, of course, you can go to our show page at rediscover-faith.org and click on radio in the top navigation bar. And that's where you'll find a link for online registration on our Rediscover Hour show page.
And here's a brand new opportunity for women. Come to the inaugural meeting of the Argument Club for Women. The evening of Tuesday, May 28th at St. Michael in Stillwater, the Argument Club for Men has been going on for some time, but here's one for women. The topic, the first time around, do contraceptives liberate women? Interesting topic. Should be provocative. Here are the details. Mm-hmm. Moderator is Dr. Deborah Savage, co-founder of the Siena Symposium. Arguing in the affirmative, Reverend Kelly Clement of the Minnesota Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice, and arguing in the negative, Dr. Ann Maloney of St. Catherine University. Now, that date again is Tuesday, May 28th. The time is from 6 to 9 p.m. with libations and appetizers starting at 6. Presentation begins at 7. The location, St. Michael Catholic Church in Stillwater. The cost is $10. We've linked information about these events on our Rediscover show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org. Click on radio in the top navigation bar.
And we have a very, very special show coming up on the Rediscover Hour. We'll have an in-depth interview with best-selling author and international speaker Matthew Kelly about his mission to re-engage Catholics in the faith. Plus, hear what he thinks about our local Rediscover efforts underway here. You won't want to miss this very special Answering the Call.
Plus, we'll walk you through registration for an event Matthew Kelly and many other inspiring Catholics will speak at this fall, the Rediscover Catholic Celebration, October 12th.
And find out what local Catholics say about the one key thing to building a strong personal prayer life.
Come back next week for all this and a whole lot more. The Rediscover Hour, Fridays at 9 a.m., Saturdays at 6 p.m., and Sundays at 9 a.m., right here on Relevant Radio.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio.